bless you all this morning. You happy? You happy this morning? Praise the Lord. In this world we'll have tribulations, trials, all sorts of things. Things that go wrong, things that don't go the way we think they're going to go. But praise the Lord, He's here. See us all through it. And He gives us strength day by day to carry on, to keep walking, to keep pressing. He gives us encouragement, whether it's through someone, through His Word. And we give Him thanks and praise. Sometimes we don't feel too great in our bodies as well. Praise the Lord, He will see us through that as well. And we can just bring it before Him, bring it to the cross, and let Him undertake for us. And that's the beauty about having our Lord and knowing Him personally, that we can just cast all our cares upon Him. And we'll just do this as we come before Him this morning. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, we just thank You once again, Lord, for having this opportunity, Lord, to meet with You, Lord, to come and worship You, Lord, just to draw closer, Lord, that You might come down by Your sweet Holy Spirit, Lord, that we might dwell in Your presence, Lord Jesus, and Lord, that You might shine light upon our lives, Lord, and encourage us, Lord, give us strength, and cause us to walk the good walk, Lord Jesus, and Lord, be a testimony, Lord, in a shining light in this dark world, Lord. We pray that You would bless the service, Lord, bless each person here this morning, Lord Jesus, and those that might be listening in. You just think of the Hughes family. They said they'd be tuning in, Lord, so we just remember them as well. Lord, we'd like them to be here, Lord Jesus, but due to time and travelling and things like, Lord, they can't be here, Lord, so we just commit them into Your hands. We just think of the brethren overseas as well, Brother Moses, Brother Nelson, Lord. We just commit them into Your hands. May You have something for them this morning as well. Commit this into Your name, Jesus. Amen. Let's sing number 372. You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why.
You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. My sins are gone. And when I met the scoffers who asked me where they are, I see my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. As far away as darkness is from gone, in the sea of God's forgiveness, that's good enough for
That's where our real joy lives, or belongs. Is in
meditating upon that, knowing that he's paid it all for you.
And the devil will try to take that away from you, won't he? Distract you with everything else. Praise the Lord. Let's sing number 204. There's coming a day.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more tears in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be. With my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace.
Ever risen Savior, he's in the world today.
I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of change, and just the time I need him. Long lives been away.
powerful Saviour, don't we? Amen. Let's sing number 232. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. A day I will never forget. Amen.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful. Yeah.
Wonderful song, beautiful song. But is it true to you? Have you been a partaker of that? Have you partaken of that? Praise the Lord, we have. We believe we have.
And the Lord will see us through.
Let's sing one more, and then I'll ask Sister Dine and Sister Pauline if they would bring the item.
Let's sing number 8, As I Journey Through the Land. Singing as I go.
As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson throne. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord. Thank you.
glad that the Lord's gentle with you as he leads you on? He's not impatient, he's patient with you, isn't he?
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Diana and Sister Paul. Does fail, doesn't it? His word will stand forever. Praise the Lord. We're just going to, I think there was only one new prayer request on the internet, and we'll just remember that. I think it was from Brother Moses or Brother Nelson, so we'll remember them. Was there any from the fellowship this morning? Any unspoken prayer requests signified by raised hand? You know, we do have his word that we can rest upon. It's not who prays or that, but it's that you laid hold by faith on the word of God and his promises. And he said, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. So we can do that this morning, knowing that he'll see it to the very end, for his word cannot fail. So we just trust in him. Okay. Brother Nelson's daughters. Okay. Let's just bow our heads in prayer at this time. Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, we just bring Brother Nelson, Lord, and his daughters before you this morning, Lord. Lord, they've requested for travelling mercies for the two daughters, Lord, to go to boarding school, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we know, Lord, that you watch over them, Lord, and Lord, you set your angels about us, Lord, to encamp about us, that, Lord, we, Lord, to preserve us, Lord, and to, Lord, keep us from the things of this world, Lord, and we just pray a blessing upon them, Lord, keep them safe, Lord, and may the meditation of their hearts and on their thoughts, Lord, be you, Lord, as we pray for even everyone here, Lord Jesus, that our thoughts would be turned upon you, Lord, at how everything, Lord, of this world grapples for our attention, or grapples for our attention, Lord Jesus, even seemingly good things, Lord, but we just want to turn our faces, Lord, and our eyes upon you, Lord, as we look to your word and to your promises this morning, Lord. If we need healing, Lord, you've promised healing, Lord. If there's uplifting, Lord, you can uplift us, Lord. And we just commit each one, Lord, unspoken prayer request, Lord, into your hands this morning. Give you thanks and praise, Lord, for answered prayer, Lord, for Jesus, for as much answered prayer, Lord, how you would care for us so greatly, Lord. And we commit them into your hands at this time. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's sing a couple more and then I'll ask Brother Hale to come. Let's sing Sometimes I Feel Like I'm Going Up, number 74.
Sometimes I feel like going up. I'm going up. I'm going up. Glory and honor, glory.
Maybe seated at this time. Thank you, Brother Allen.
Thank you, Brother Timothy. It's a Bible name, Timothy. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be in the house of God.
Amen.
And we don't know how long we'll be here for, how much time we have, but I want to make the most of it while we're here. Because they could shut us down any time. And better still, the Lord could come.
Amen.
That's what we want. So may He grant that to us. Amen. I was really glad to hear a sister tell me down in the back there, Sister Maria, that she said, Brother Howard, it's lovely and warm down here. And she said, I can hear everything. It's very clear. So let's say praise the Lord. We go to effort to do these things for people, and we like to know that it's working. So we're so thankful for Sister Maria and Brother Curry being here. Praise the Lord. I just want to read a scripture reading, if we'd like to stand for the reading of God's word, from Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1. It says, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. And that basically means that our hearts can only be conditioned by the Lord. You can try. I heard a man speaking recently. You do this, you do that, you do that, and they may have been all correct. But it takes more than that. It takes the grace and mercy of God to come and change you. I'd also like to read from Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. Which says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. Now it's not talking about a bit of stone. It's talking about a hardness. And I will give you a heart of flesh, something that's pliable and soft. And I will put my spirit within you, something else He wants to do, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. So may God bless the reading of His precious word. I want to entitle this, Preparation of the Heart are from the Lord. May we all be encouraged from this. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we come to Thee. We're praying, Lord, that You will come by Your Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth will come and quicken that which we need to know. And Lord, may we lay aside every weight, every distraction, every disappointment, whatever it is, let us lay aside it. And may the Holy Spirit minister to our hearts. This morning we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I was thinking what a wonderful thing it is that God prepares our heart. You know why? Because I cannot, and nor can you. You can't do it. You may mean well. You may have every good intention. But the truth is, it takes God to prepare the heart. Praise the Lord. It's not you or I, but God that prepares our heart. No wonder the scripture says, the preparations of the heart are from the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, these things are really, really important. You know, we can get down and we can kneel down and we can pray and we can cry out to God, and those things are good. But it takes more than that. It's God to prepare your heart. It's of the Lord's doings, and truly marvelous in our eyes that he can prepare our hearts. You know, David said, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in my heart. You know why? Because you don't know. You don't know whether there's any wickedness in there. It takes the Holy Spirit to do that. Hallelujah. Who believes God can do it? He can bring things to light like that. It's really wonderful when he does that. And the reason we draw nigh to God, the reason we draw nigh to God is because he is calling us. In John 6:44, Jesus said, no man can come to me except, there's one exception, except my Father which hath sent me draw him. So it takes God to draw you. Now you say, oh, I reckon this person should come to the Lord. They can't. Or I think she should, or he, or whatever. I reckon they should come to the Lord. They cannot come unless God calls them. Always remember that. Same thing with ourselves. We want to get closer to God. It takes God to do that. He's got to prepare our heart. The preparation of the heart is of the Lord. So we can see, Jesus said that very clearly, black and white. Let's read it again. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's a good part.
Amen.
Whether we live or die, Paul says, I am the Lord's. Whether we live or die, we're going to be raised up. Sister Shirley's getting ready to get raised up. Who believes that?
Amen.
If you die in the Lord, you have resurrection power in you. We've proven that over and over again. So let's believe that God will do that for each one of us. And preparation of the heart is absolutely necessary. It's really necessary that we have the preparation of the heart. Praise be to God. Very important to God as well. The Bible says, we are a sanctuary. A sanctuary. We are a sanctuary or a temple for the Holy Ghost. We are a walking temple. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, we read, it says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Who's glad to have him in you?
Amen.
Which ye have of God, and you are not your own. See, that gets right away from our human thinking. Oh, this is me. I'm the guy. I'm going to be looked after, and I'm going to make sure that you're going to listen. You are not your own. And God will do with you as he pleases. Who believes that?
Amen.
I heard some other preacher saying, you know, you need to just pray to God and give him permission to come in. God doesn't need permission. He doesn't need permission. He comes and goes where he wants to. And the preparation of the heart is of the Lord. Praise be to God. I know people mean well when they say these things, but actually it's not really true. Hallelujah. So God is very careful that he has a clean temple. which he can dwell. He wants a clean temple. And you know, just God, the reason he wants a clean temple, because the Holy Ghost is holy. And he cannot come into something that's unclean. It's got to be a clean temple. You cannot be having the Holy Ghost and you're flirting around with things that are not clean. And Jesus displayed this zealous desire when he was here on earth. We'll read this in Mark 11, verse 15. And they come to Jerusalem and Jesus went into the temple. This is a natural temple made out of blocks. Went to the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple. The church is not a shop. We should never sell. We should keep a holy atmosphere. This is a place of worship. We also should be very careful. We don't, you know, talk in here and shout, and not that we do so much, but the only time you can shout is when you're praising God. It's very important because it's the house of God. And he says here, they sold and brought in the temple. They overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Now, this is quite a meeting Jesus went to. He went up and he got all the tables and chairs and he tipped them over and everything. He would not and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught them, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations, including New Zealand, the house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. That was the temple of stone we spoke about. Made out of rocks and big stones. I've seen some of them. They're enormous stones. Huge stones. Would fill up, crush that piano. They are big. And he taught them, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called the house of all nations, the house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. So we see this is very important, that this temple of stone had to be right. How much more the temple of your flesh? God is just as adamant about that temple. He does not want that temple to become not like him. God has to first clean the temple before indwelling it. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, it says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Judgment. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? You see, brother and sister, God wants to first clean the temple, the natural temple. He's got to clean me out, and he's got to clean you out, and it takes God to do that. God will never fill an unclean vessel. Never. He will never fill an unclean vessel. If we're still flirting with the world and the things of the world, God cannot come into your vessel with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost cannot stand being in a filthy, unclean vessel. Now, the world is a horrible thing to God. And when you start playing around with the world, he's not very happy about that. God does not look kindly on us if we are living a double life. We touched on that the other day. Living a double life. We are being robbed of going ahead with God and to be made ready for his coming. People say, when the rapture came, why wasn't I taken? Because you weren't ready. You didn't let the Holy Spirit clean you. We're robbed of going ahead. Another wonderful type under the Old Testament was there was much preparation for the priest. The priest could, before the priest could enter the holy places where the presence of God dwelt, behind that curtain, there was much preparations, there's much washings, and sacrifices took place. And today God is still in the business of preparing hearts before they can come into the holy place. You just can't walk and say, oh Lord, fill me with the Spirit like some Pentecostal people do. I don't say that in judgmental, but it's really sad. Oh Lord, let the Spirit fall on me. Hallelujah, Lord. Let the Spirit fall. Listen, he wants a clean life before we have anything to do with it. He means it. The preparation of the heart has to be right. And preparing us for his temple. If we believe we are justified by the blood of Jesus, God continues to sanctify our hearts and our flesh. See, you're forgiven. You're forgiven by the blood of Christ. And then there's a work of sanctification. There's things in our life that have to be got rid of. There's habits and things that keep bucking their heads in you and in me. They try to. Who believes that's amen?
Amen?
These things keep coming back. These continual sins that raise their ugly head. God says, that's got to go. That's got to go. That's got to go. You know, when my wife came to New Zealand, and she was sort of living in the world a little bit, but she came here and she sort of made some sort of confession because her father was a minister. But you know, your father being a minister doesn't change anything. But when she got there, she went and saw my dad. He said, I think God wants to speak to you. Why don't you just go out into that caravan out there? You get in that caravan, and I believe God will come to you. That's exactly what happened when she got there. The Spirit of God came down. And you know what? I'm just giving her testimony. Maybe she'll give it one day. I don't know. When the Lord came and met with her, he went around the room. He said, see that dress or whatever it was? That's got to go. See those snake boots? She had snake skin boots. They have to go. No one preached to her. The Holy Spirit does the preparation. He said, those snake boots have to go. You know, I was in China. I was preaching this very testimony, and the interpreter was there. Brother Henry Goy was there. And it was really funny what happened. It really was, because it's just the way it all happened. And I just said, and my wife, the Holy Spirit came around the room and said, see those snake boots? They got to go. And he interpreted it, what I'd said. The snake in the boot has to go. And every time there's confusion with the Chinese, wherever we were, and one time I said, could I play the grand piano in the restaurant? And they came back with a bowl of peanuts. Worked that out. And Brother Henry turned to him and said, snake boot. Snake boot. You see, we get things wrong. But brother and sister, when God started to deal with her, and that had to go, and that had to go. And she had a miniskirt. Can you believe Sister June in a miniskirt? But she had real short. And God dealt with her, and she came with a dress like this. It looked so drab. I think it was leftover season stuff. I don't know. But she didn't care. She just wanted to get right with God. And brother and sister, if you want to get right with God, you don't care what you look like, what people think about you. You want to be right. Hallelujah. When I saw that big change in that sister, I thought, man, she's real. Wound up marrying her. I'm so glad I did. She still has the same desire. But there's a preparation of the heart, and God's Spirit fell upon her so wonderfully. I've seen her. When the Spirit of God has come upon her, Brother Smith's farm, we had a prayer meeting one there. The Spirit of God came down on my wife. She just broke down and wept. Who wants that experience? Amen. You know, it's more than just coming to church and learning this and learning that. You've got to get in the Spirit. You've got it. The Holy Spirit come and minister to you and start changing your life. And when He shows you something, He expects you to do it. Did everyone hear that? When He shows you something, He's expecting you to do it. He said He doesn't want us to be hearers, but doers of the word. Just hearers and not doers. God wants doers. Who wants to do for Jesus?
Amen.
I want to do what He's asked me to do. Whatever it is, I just want to do it. You know, and sometimes we're so stubborn. Who's ever had a stubborn spirit? Oh, man. What a wicked spirit that is. We get so stubborn. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. Hold on. Whatever He says unto you, do it. That's what Mary said to the servants when they went to Jesus to change, get wine. They said, go and see Jesus, and whatever He says unto you, do it. So they went to Jesus and they said, Master, we've got no wine. He said, go and fill jars with water. We want wine, not water. But then they remember what Mary said. Whatever He says unto you, do it. So they went and got jars of water and filled them right up. Who loves the Lord?
I love Him.
He knows how to fill you up. Then He said to them, go and give out to the governor of the wedding. And when they took that, what they thought was water, it was the most beautiful wine they'd ever had. He turned the water into wine. So I want Him to turn me into wine. And wine represents the Holy Ghost. We know that. Wine and oil both represent the Holy Ghost. And so there's got to be a preparation of the heart, so that God is starting to work in each one. He's preparing us for His temple that He can dwell in. What if He says, I've got to get rid of those snake boots? I've got to get rid of them. If God says, I don't want you to be doing this anymore. You've always been doing it, and I want you to stop it. Obey His word. And God may give you the Holy Ghost right then. When you start to obey what He says, He will fill you. Obedience is so important to God. Obedience is better than sacrifice, as they said. The prophet said, obedience is better than sacrifice. Oh, you go to church and you pray and you read your Bible, and all that's good, but have you done what He's told you to do? Have you done what He said to do? But Lord, I lead the singing. Nothing against you, Tim. Or I preach. That's lovely. But have you done what He said to do? So before they came into the holy place, these things had to be dealt with. And God is working on our hearts, preparing us for His temple. We all believe we are justified by the blood of Jesus, but God continues that sanctification, cleaning up. The Holy Spirit's in you. The Spirit of sanctification is in you, sanctifying you. I'm not doing things today that I used to do, and that's even my thoughts. God knows that's true. And I want Him to continue showing me. As we sing that song, I haven't sung it for a while, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Who remembers that? Pure and holy, tried and true. That's what we should sing sometimes. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. There's got to be a preparation of the heart, and only God can do this. He prepares you to be a sanctuary for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, maybe we can sing that, eh? Shall we sing that? Lord, prepare me. Maybe we can sing it with or without music, whatever. Have you? There we go. That's the Lord, brother. Here's a brother who felt led to sing that. Wrote it down. That proves we should be singing. Shall we just stand to our feet and sing this? Lord, prepare. I think it's an E flat, isn't it? Something. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Hallelujah. Pure and holy. Tried and true. With thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Who believes that? Say amen. Sanctuary, walking around temple of God with the Holy Spirit in us could change a lot of people's lives. You may be seated. So let's always remember that. Prepare me to be a sanctuary. It takes God to do this. That's how he works things. Hallelujah. He woos us. You know, he woos us means he draws us. Draws us. He woos us and he chastens us. Remember, the preparations are of the Lord. So there are times when he's so gentle. You know that. When God's been really gentle with you, just so wonderful. You just want to weep and cry. Who knows what I'm talking about? Say amen. Amen. Oh, I want it to happen every day with me. And then other times he brings the pressure on. Just like when a potter, he's the potter, we're the clay. The potter's preparing a vessel, and you've all seen it. I've seen it quite a few times, actually. Have you ever watched how they work? Have you ever seen the potter punch the clay? Who's seen that? They actually punched the pile of clay. What's he doing? And then he picks it up and he pulls it and he stretches it. And he punches it. Then he'll totally change his approach. I used to go to sign writing school and sort of an art place, and they had people next to us who were doing clay models. So I used to watch and I was really amazed. After the punching and the stretching of the clay, then the potter changed his whole tact. He became very gentle as he molds the clay on the wheel. And sometimes so gently that just with one finger, oh, ever so softly, just touches it, just like that, puts his finger in the water, and just very lightly touches the clay. It's molding it. It's at a time where the potter is have to be very careful, very gentle to make us. And the time when God does knocks us around a bit, we get pushed and punched, it's because he loves you. And then when we're in that right place, then he gets real gentle. He starts molding. I don't want that lump there. That lump's no good. You know, we've heard this before. They put the clay on the wheel. I've seen it many times, and it's going spinning around. They're pushing the little pedal and spinning round and round. And if the clay's got a little lump on it, it's still there. Sometimes when God's working on you, there's still a little lump on you that's causing a problem in your life. Oh, brothers and sisters, may God be patient with us. And it goes round. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. And he knows that he got to get rid of that lump. It can't remain there. He tries very hard to get the lump out. Now, if he can't get the lump out, he takes drastic measures. He breaks the vessel. You got on that film of yours. He breaks the vessel down. He punches. He stretches. When he's satisfied that that lump's out of there, he puts it back on the wheel. He's ever so gentle. Just going around. It's going around. It starts to look like the image he's wanting. And brother and sister, if there's lumps in our life that have to go, he'll get them out. It may be a bit drastic, but you know what? He loves you in the process. And he'll look after you through those times. Hallelujah. The preparations of the heart. He's our potter. We're the clay. Knows just how hard to push us. God's a good moderator. He knows exactly how hard to push you. He won't push you beyond anything you're unable to stand. He won't allow you to be tempted above that which you're able. He knows. But because he loves you, he's got to prepare you. Because he wants to take you on that rapture. And you've got to be ready. And those things have to go. How gentle he can be to encourage us. But whatever the case, he is preparing our hearts. Let's read from Romans 9:22. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. So he's got the whole thing in his hands. He's molding me every day. Aren't you glad? Who's glad he's molding you? What a terrible thing if God left off preparing you. Oh, brother and sister, who wants God to prepare you every day? Lord, mold me every day. When does God prepare our hearts? When does he prepare? Not just in church. He's not just preparing your heart in church. In fact, more times than not, it's not when we're in church that God will deal with you in a situation that's been pressing. When God starts to deal with your heart, it can be at any time. At any moment, he can come and start dealing with you. Even while you're driving your car, God can start dealing with you. You can talk to Brother Andrew about that. They'd love to be here, but they can't. They had to take their family over to Mirapara. But he knows when he's there that the Spirit of God's speaking to his heart all the time. And we need to be more sensitive to the dealings of God. How often we're so preoccupied. We're so preoccupied we can't hear the gentle touch of the potter. We fail to hear his voice. We trample over his calls of correction. To me, it's a hideous thing when God spoke to our hearts and we just put it aside and we ignore what God says and we just trample over what God's trying to tell us. It's the mercy of God that he have to break you down. But he loves you to make sure you're there. Who loves him, say amen. If he takes it, has to break us down, he'll break us down. He's got a way of doing it. He'll deal with Brother Keith differently from me. Brother Tatu, different. Pauline, we're all different. God knows how to handle each one of us. But he's going to do it. And I want him to. Take me, Lord. Lord, prepare me to be a temple Prepare me to be a sanctuary for you. Sometimes God is trying to prepare you for a new experience. This is true, brother and sister. God's trying to prepare you for a new experience. It's all part of the training as He wants to use you. God wants to use you. We're not here to have a holiday. We're here to serve the Lord. Who believes that? Say amen.
Amen.
And sometimes it may not be pleasant, but very needful for you and for me, of course. When God is going to give the baptism of the Holy Ghost to somebody, maybe weeks and months before, you become very tender to God. This is not the time for you to become mixed up with other things when you feel that tenderness toward the Lord. Get away from those things. Run for your life and spend time with God alone. God's trying to get your attention instead of getting the noise of this world, and there's lots of it, trying to take us away from the tender dealings of the Spirit. You see Him in many things. You feel an atmosphere, expectation around you. Now that's the time He's coming to you. Brother, sister, I cannot explain this to you. God's got to show you, because only God can show you. What I'm telling you is a very real thing. Get quiet enough with God. Get away from influence. Get away from noise, from people. Get alone with God and say, Lord, I hear your voice. What is it you want, Lord? What are you wanting me to do? Show me, Lord. Stay away from the things that take you away from that, because the Lord is preparing your heart for the greatest thing of in your life. That's why it's so important to draw aside. We need to draw aside and get quiet before the Lord. We really do. Shut off the noise. Shut off the influences, the distractions. Satan's job is to get you so busy. You're so busy you can hardly think straight. And you wonder why God doesn't get to you. He's been knocking all the time. I want Him to come in. But you've got to open that door on the inside of your heart. Sometimes the devil sends somebody in to upset you. That's how he works. He sends somebody to upset you about something. But if you feel that sacred thirst in your heart for God, stay with it. Hallelujah, stay with it. I was thinking of Jacob when he got up on the mountain. Lord, I've got to sort this problem out. My brother's coming with soldiers. They're going to kill me and cut me to pieces. And the angel of the Lord came. Started wrestling with him. Who wants to wrestle with the Lord? You've got to wrestle with him. And he got a hold of him. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. God loved that attitude. He called him a prince with God. He overcame all the distractions. Whether his brothers coming or not made no difference. And hold on to you, Lord. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Preparing our hearts to receive His Spirit. As you read in the second scripture reading in Ezekiel 36:26, a new heart also will I give you. God will give you a new heart. Your heart is not working. It's causing a lot of problems. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And then he says, and something else. I will put my spirit within you. Because you cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Do them. A lot of people not doing it. Wonder why you can't get through to God. You're not doing it. God's shown you to do. I want to read you something Brother Branham said. He said, he'll give you a new spirit. He says, now that isn't God's spirit. Listen carefully. That isn't God's spirit. That's your spirit. God gives you a new spirit. Then he says, I'll put my spirit in him. But the thing God has to do is give you a new spirit. Make your nature a little more gentle. Make your nature a little more gentle and settle down. Or he couldn't even live with you. You know, sometimes we can't even live with ourselves, let alone the Holy Spirit to come in. We're just a fighting, raging trouble. So he has to get you fixed up first before he can come in. I want to come into me. Who wants him to come in? Listen, are you ready to let God do the surgery on you and clean you up? Lord, prepare me. Prepare me. Take the preparation of the heart is of the Lord. Lord, take the stubbornness out of my spirit. It's just such an embarrassment. Get rid of it, Lord. Give me a new spirit. Then your Holy Spirit can come and live with me. He'll give you a new spirit. Then you take him anywhere. Go to all kinds of places. He's got to get you fixed so you can entertain him right. God has to be in the right atmosphere, in the right presence. So we see, it is not just, Lord, fill me with the Spirit today. Oh, it takes more than that, brothers and sisters. It takes a time down at the potter's house. Who wants to go down to the potter's house? God, take me down to the potter's house. Punch the clay. Pull it. Whatever it is, whatever is causing the problem, pull it out of me. That's what I want, Lord. Before he can come to you, God will not dwell. He will not dwell. Indwell. Sorry. God will not indwell a hypocrite. God will not dwell a hypocrite. Or a two-timer. Or an insincere person. His preparations are very thorough. He's got to get that stuff out of you. I've said it before. People say, oh, Lord, I want you to change me. You know, get into prayer. Lord, I want this, that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Lord, I'm going to be different from this day onwards. I want to be really changed. Lord, I'm going to do this. And Lord, I want to do that. And I want you to use me. And God says, yes. Next day, you do none of it. God says, that was a pretty big prayer that I said the other night. Now look at them. He doesn't want that sort of thing. It's going to take a preparation of the heart, soften it down. Be gentle, be sincere. Wine in new bottles is another example from the Word of God, and Jesus said that in Mark 2:22. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles. Now these bottles are not glass bottles, these are skin bottles. You know, cow skin, that's how they made them. No man putteth new wine into old bottles, a bit old these ones, else the new wine doth burst the bottles because of the stimulation of the Holy Ghost in you. And the wine is spilt, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles. You've got to be a new creature. You've got to be made new. You've got to be born again. Then God can fill you. Hallelujah. The bottle or the vessel must be made a new creature. Or they must be given a new spirit. Before the spirit, the wine can come into them. Otherwise, the whole testimony, your whole testimony would be destroyed and bring a reproach. Because you're blowing it. God would not allow it. So he's going to deal with you. He's got to deal with me. That's why the preparation of the heart is so important. That is why so many people fail to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They are not prepared to receive it. Oh, brother, lay your hands on me. Oh, here comes another preacher. He's good. He can lay his hands. No, they won't do it. Your heart has to be prepared. A preparation of the heart is of the Lord. Notice when Peter, what he said on the day of Pentecost. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a preparation of the heart. Then, when those requirements have taken place, a true repentance, a true baptism, a sanctification of the Spirit of God in your life, he promised to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a gift to you. So if you prepare right, let God do the work, let whatever it takes, let God do it. Then you get the Holy Ghost. Because God's satisfied. He's made you clean through the blood of Christ and through the sanctification of His Spirit upon His Word. So may He prepare our hearts today. God has to do it. But we must be willing. Who wants to be willing?
Amen.
Lord, I am willing for You to do the surgery. Whatever it takes, I am willing, Lord. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. It's a definitely a work of God. That we are in Christ Jesus. Look at this closing verse. It's truly wonderful. This is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But in Him, that's in Christ. But of the Lord are ye in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? God did it. He put you in there. Isn't God's word true? It's all everywhere you look. But of Him ye are in Christ. He says, I'm pressed into God. I surrendered. I prayed 40 days and 40 nights. Listen, it's of Him that ye are in Christ Jesus. Who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. It's nothing to do with me or you. Oh, and God's with me. Praise God. I'm learning to separate. It's very nice, but it's of the Lord that you're in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So let him, he that's going to glory, let him glory in the Lord. Who believes that?
Amen.
Let's say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Give Him the glory. We'll give the glory to Jesus. Amen. Shall we just pray as we stand? Lord Jesus, we come to Thee this morning, Lord, in Your wonderful name. And Lord, the Bible says the preparation of the heart is of the Lord. So we're praying, precious Savior, that You do a mighty work in our hearts. Search us out, Lord. As David said, see if there be any wicked way in me. Lord, I just pray that we'll be honest, do business with God. It's not a pastor or the church or it's somebody else, my husband or my wife or whatever. Lord, we need to do searching. Let the Holy Spirit search us through and through. And the preparation of our heart, that we can be filled with the Spirit. Because we're a cleansed, clean temple. That God has made clean through Calvary. Bless it, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the Potter. like to come to the altar. Don't know how long you're going to have a chance to get here, but it's here now. You want to ask God to do some surgery on you. Preparation of the heart, that he may fill you and give you that opportunity. You people out there on the internet, 100 or so of you are listening out there, bow your head and say, Lord, search me, O God. See if there be any way, wicked way in me. Have thine own way is what I pray for in the name of the Lord. So let's sing this verse 3. And does anybody like prayer? I'm not going to persuade you. It's either real or it's not. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Like prayer, just come. Brother Tim, would you like to come? Oh, Brother Lee, would you like to come? Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Sanctuary like we sung before, but just hearing in the preaching there, what we need to do is to have that desire for God to come in and be willing for God to come in, because we can stand off and says, oh yeah, I believe that and I'm after that, but we've got to be willing for God to come in, and only God can do it when he does. Lord, prepare me. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. I'll be I've spoken to people, and oftentimes people want the Lord to come into them, but they're not willing for the Lord to do the work. And they can only have eternal life when the Lord comes in. The only way is when the Lord comes in. So we don't have a choice if you want to have eternal life. So we've got to be willing and have the desire for the Lord to come in. No matter what, there's no other way. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're very grateful for your love and care and mercy and grace towards us and all of those that want Jesus. Help them, Lord, to realize they've got to let Jesus in. Got to open that door from the inside. Let the Holy Spirit come in and they'll get through. Of all the mistakes that Satan tries to point at us and said, but you did this way back years ago. Don't you remember this or that? Put it under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't worry about it. Leave it in God's hands. He has a way, and that will work. Lord, we thank you for this service, Lord. We thank you for the one this afternoon. Bless us being here, Lord. Thank you for the luncheon we're about to have and the fellowship. Bless all the folks that listen in on this service. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing this once more as we go. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary.